All right. Did you appreciate the youth testimonies tonight? Right here, this is going to represent you youth tonight, each one of you. In fact, it's going to represent each of our lives tonight, this right here, okay? I don't know if anyone's counting, but one more time, could you stand for the reading of God's word? Brother Mike, I failed to get with you, but several times during the message, I'm going to need to go back to this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. Paul says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle," our word today is letter, "our letter of Christ, ministered by us, the apostles, written not with ink, but written with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly," the word fleshly means literally flesh, not our carnal nature, but our blood tissue, "fleshly tables of the heart." Paul says, ye, earlier, he says, ye are our epistle. And now he narrows that down and he says, ye are the epistle or the letter of Christ. I want to talk to you tonight about not my story. Not my story. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for all service long, you ministering to our hearts, speaking to us, Lord, through testimony, through song, through exhortation, Lord, through prayer, through singing. Lord, I just pray, God, you continue to minister and to open up our hearts to your truth, the remainder of this service. God, may this be the service that something eternal is done in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. You can be seated. It's become part of the jargon of the world, and it has entered the church, the expression, my story. How many folks have you heard talking about recently, my story, my story, my story, my story? It's coming to the church. I have found, I'm not trying to be critical, but I have found that that is one of the expressions that at first sounds so clever. You know, it sounds so, just so wise. When people begin to talk about my story, one of the things they'll say when they use that expression is, you don't know my story. Don't be critical of me. Don't be talking about me because you don't know my story. And there's truth in that. There's a lot of truth in that. My story. Another thing it said, and you can even get a little plaque with it on it, but my story's still being written. My story, my story, my story's still being written. And there's a lot of truth in that. Let me tell you what the problem I see with that. Sounds clever, sounds great, even makes a good testimony. But the problem with that is that implies that I am writing my story. I am in charge of my story. I'm choosing what my story will be about. I want to ask you a question tonight. You can ask it for yourself. Am I really writing my story? Am I really choosing the elements and the makeup of my own story? Something else I find problematic about that is that makes it all about me, my story, me, 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 my story, my story, my story. Makes it all about me, my success, my desires, my goals, my achievements, my troubles, my trials, my fears. And in all of that, there's some truth and there's some value. But could I present to you tonight something better than my story? Could I do that? Here's what I'd like to present, and all you young people, if you get a hold of this too, I think it could be life-changing. Instead of me writing my story about my life, how about Jesus writing his story with my life? Jesus writing his story on my life. Jesus writing his story with my life and through my life. How about that? How about instead of my story, his story live through me? You see, Paul uses the illustration, and I won't be extensive about this because he changes illustrations from one verse to the other. But some folks said to the apostles, if you're going to be going around preaching to other people in churches, you need a letter of recommendation. You need something official. You need it written down. And Paul said, we don't need to take a letter of recommendation on parchment, because all we have to do is to point to the Corinthians. They were people without God. They were idol worshipers. They were pagans. And we preached the gospel to them, and Christ transformed their lives, and he changed them. We don't need a letter on parchment to recommend us as preachers of the gospel. Just look at what God did to the Corinthians. Others said, well, you need a letter from the Corinthians to tell preachers it's a good people to preach to. He said, we don't need a letter from the Corinthians to recommend them either, because anybody can look at their lives and see that God has done a work in them. God has transformed them. God has saved them. God has delivered them. God's given them hope. We don't need something written down on an official letter. Just look at their lives. Their lives are the letter. If you look at their lives, you'll see what God has written in their souls. And so as Paul begins to preach that, he changes. And he said, I want to talk to you about another letter. It's not that kind of letter. It's the letter that Jesus himself wrote. And he wrote it on the hearts of people. He wrote it on the hearts of the Corinthians. And Paul goes on to say, all anybody has to do is to read a Corinthians' life. You've got to understand something. I told you I'd be hurrying. I'm really hurrying. Like, you'd understand something. The Corinthians were notorious for being evil, wicked people. They were partiers. They were involved in every kind of sexual deviancy. They were carousers. They were known even in that world of being the wickedest of the wicked. And yet Paul said, if you would just look at their lives, those that have got saved, you can see the work of Christ written on their soul. Something has happened to them. It's a work of Jesus Christ. It's a divine work that he's written on their lives. And so I'm going to present very quickly to you tonight again. Instead of this thing about my story, my story, my story, what instead if we had his story written and impressed upon our lives? Do you see the difference? Now let's look at the picture Paul gives us. The author in verse 3, only look at verse 3. The author is Jesus Christ. This is the epistle or the letter of Christ. Other places in the New Testament, we have the letter of Paul or the letter, the epistle of Peter, or the epistle of James or John. And we look at those and we see those in our Bible. I mean, if you looked at the heading right now, you would see it there, the epistle of James, epistle of Jude, epistle of Peter. But look what Paul says. He says, you that are saved, you whose lives have been changed, you are the epistle of Christ. So who's the author? Christ is the author. And then he says here, ministered by us, literally written by us. I cannot believe I lost it that quick. Here it is. I've got a pen. What Paul's literally said is we were the pens. Now you can understand, a pen is the instrument for writing. Jesus is the author. If I'm the author of something, I still need a pen. And God chose to use men and women to share the gospel in such a way that Christ could write his story on people's hearts. Amen. If you're a Sunday school teacher here, did you know you are an instrument in God's hands so Jesus can write his story on children's heart? Brother Brian, you are an instrument, a pen in the hand of God so Jesus can write his story on young people's hearts. If you're involved in any type of ministry, Sister Ruth, and you Wednesday night workers, you are a pen in the hands of Christ to write his story upon hearts. Amen. How many hears me tonight? And so the author is Christ, and the pen is the minister. But what's the ink? It's not black stuff made from whatever. The ink is the Spirit of God Himself. Can I just tell you right here, nothing can leave its mark on your soul like the Holy Spirit. Nothing can make an impression on somebody's heart like the Holy Spirit. And so Christ, He's getting ready to write something. And so He uses a minister. He uses a vessel. And through that minister, He pours His Holy Spirit. But what is the tablet? The tablet is the heart of people. Everyone here, this is your heart. And upon your heart, Christ desires to write His story. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many since last week at youth camp, Jesus wrote some things on your heart? Amen. How many believes He wants to do that tonight? And so very quickly tonight, I want to bring this all together this way. I'm going to make it very personal. You can say this. I can say this. My life isn't the story. Are you hearing me? My life is not the story. My life is what the story is written on. My life is what the story is written with. My life is a story, what the story is written into. If we could go back to our text just for a moment, I want you to notice something. This is exciting to me. Do you see what he said down here towards the end of the verse? The story that Christ wrote was not written on tables of stone. Does anybody know what this is a reference to? Not written on tables of stone. It's a reference to Moses on the mount. When God got ready to give the law, the Ten Commandments, God wrote on those tables of stone the law. Oh, let's get this straight. When God gets ready to write the law, He writes it on tables of stone. But Paul said, when God gets ready to write grace, when God gets ready to write mercy, when God gets ready to write salvation, He doesn't write it on tables of stone. He writes it on our hearts. I said, the law was written on stone. But grace was written on our hearts. How many knows He's still writing grace on people's hearts? We give up on this one. God wants to write grace on their heart. I'm telling you, my life isn't the story. My life is what the story is written on. My life is like a blank tablet on which something is going to be written. Listen to me. Make no mistake. And I'm going to end here in just a few moments. But this is your life. This is your heart. And something will be written on it. Amen. 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 We are like a tablet. We are blank and different ones. Listen, I'm way ahead of myself, but there's different people who would love to write on the tablet of your heart. And they love to write different things. But oh, the desire is that Christ would write on the tablet of your life. Amen. I could have brought all different kind of tablets up here. A white one or a yellow one. A large one or a small one. Amen. One that's bounded or a loose leaf one. I could have brought one with a narrow rule or one with large rule. And on we could go. The tablets are of different size. What are you trying to say? We're from different families. We have different DNA. We come from different environments. Amen. We come with different temperaments. We come with different lifespans. But I'll tell you what Christ's desire is upon every tablet: to write His mercy and grace, to write His story on the tablet of your life. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You see, the story is written on my heart, but the question is, will I give God a heart of stone, heart that's hard with my own will and way and sin, or will I give God a heart that is fleshly and soft with confession and repentance and humility and a desire for Him to write His story? Amen. So ask yourself a question before we move on. Is my heart such that God could write His story on it? If it's not, it can be. Oh, you can just cry out, God, I'm tired of my own ways, my own will. Lord, I make myself soft before You. Amen. Secondly, tonight, my life, you're saying this with me, my life will be read. My life, are you hearing me tonight? My life will be read. Going back to verse 2, in the other picture Paul gives us, he says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Amen. You see, we just say, and we just talk about my story, my story. It's like it's both up to me to write my story, and it's only about me. But it's not that. It's so important it be Christ's story. Why? Amen. Because people are going to read the story of, did you know they're already doing it? You may be here and 14 years old, or you may be 90 years old as Brother Brock, but people are reading the story of your life. That's why a good testimony is so important. That's why it's so important to live consistent. It's so important to live all out. It's so important to live like we're truly saved, because people are reading our story. Even, what are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say this. Get this. You might have thought I was being too critical to talk about my story, my story, my story, and how I don't really like it. But the truth of the matter is, we don't just have a story. We are a story. I said, we don't just have a story. We are a story. We're what people see. Oh, do you have a desire that when people read the story of your life, they see Jesus, they see hope, they see help, they see eternity? Amen. Our story, my story, will be read. There isn't just something to be said about my life. My life says something. Could I say it about all of us? There's not just something to be said about our lives. Our lives say something. At work, at school, in the neighborhood, in the environment, people are reading your life, my life. Your life affects other people. Amen. It touches other people. And then, I told you it's going to be quick. Last of all tonight, my life should be Christ's story. If we go back to verse 3, amen, he talks about, this is the epistle. We are the epistles of Christ. That of Christ, yes, means he writes it, but it also means it's about him. The story's about him. Paul is making a direct reference, as I've already alluded to, that something had happened, something revolutionary had happened in these Corinthians' life when they were introduced to Jesus Christ. And I'd like to say tonight, it's still going to be that way. If you truly have come to know Jesus, there's going to be a revolutionary change in your heart and life. Why? Because when you come to know him, he imprints his story upon your life. If you are a true believer, you cannot tell your story without talking about Jesus. If you can tell your story without talking about salvation, if you can tell your story without talking about how Jesus rescued you, if you can tell your story without talking about the goodness of God, that's all you have is your story. But I want to tell you, if you truly met the Lord, when you begin to tell your story, you know what you're going to recognize? You're telling his story written on your life. Oh, hallelujah. My life should be Christ's story. He writes it. He writes about what he has done, is doing. It's not just a record of what has happened. Amen. God's story is the story of what he has done in our lives. But God's story, Christ's story, is a story of what he is doing. And it's a story of what he's going to do. That's why I can put in every young person's birthday card, God has a plan for your life. He knows what he wants your life to be. He knows his plans for you. He knows his will for you. And he wants to make that come to pass in your life. Aren't you glad he has a story for us to live? Glory to God. It's not just purposelessness. It's not just meaninglessness of life. God has a story, his story, for us to live. Amen. He writes, we live it. We follow him, we serve him. And as we do so, he is writing the story. Amen. I have another question tonight. Do you and I really want our story just to be our story? I want to tell you the truth. Most people either live extremely boring lives or lives that are extremely unpleasant. Most people's lives are not thrillers. Right? The story of most people's life, I'm talking about without Christ, is a story of emptiness. It's a story of barrenness. It's a story of hopelessness. That's why I say again, I don't want my story. I want His story of my life. Listen, if you are convinced that you just want to write your own story, I'll tell you up front, it's going to be a tragedy. Amen. You write your own story. It's going to be unpleasant. It's going to end badly. But oh, if He writes His story, glory to God. What a thriller. Amen. For time and eternity. Would you come, music? I got one more thing to say. Actually, I got two more. I'm way ahead of myself. Amen. But just quickly, go ahead, come, music. I'll start quitting. My life should be Christ's story, but my life can become another's story. I was trying to think. I think it was Xander a little bit ago, but I had a tablet on my desk, and I walked in there, and it had all kinds of squiggle marks and undecipherable things on it. And I knew one of my grandkids had been writing on my tablet. Let me tell you very simplistically, your life and your heart is a tablet meant only for Christ to write on. But there is somebody else who would love to write your story. How many knows I'm telling you the truth? There is an enemy of our soul who would love to write our story. And what he writes is not pretty. What he writes does not end up well. Amen. I could hand this to Brother Heath and tell him to write a story. I turn the page, hand it to Brother Steve, tell him to write a story. I want to tell you, it's going to be completely different. Amen. The authorship is going to be evident that it was from different authors. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you don't have to look at a person very long to be able to tell which author is writing the story. How many knows it's evident when it's Christ writing the story? And it's evident when it's the enemy writing the story. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be the epistle of Christ. Amen. Would you stand across the building? Not my story, Christ's story. You know, some of the old songs are so profound, we just become too familiar with them. And I don't know the intent of the author of the song. How many times have we sung Blessed Assurance? Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And what do? As we begin the chorus, this is my story. This is, Jesus is mine. This is my story. Blessed Assurance, this is my story. You know what we're singing? We're singing His story is my story. And that's why we can sing Blessed Assurance. Well, it's a different sermon, but I wonder how many would like to bring tonight the tablet of your life to this altar and say, Lord, write another paragraph of your story on my life. I'll tell you, He's better than that. Let me tell you what a wonderful God we have. If the enemy has been writing things on your life that shouldn't be there, and you come to this altar in humility, you come to this altar repent, I'll tell you what our God will do, Brother Brad. He'll tear off what the enemy has written, and then He'll write His story. Did anyone ever have God do that? Just tear off the story Satan was writing of your life and start a new story. Do we have any epistles of Christ here? Let me see. Are you an epistle of Christ? Folks will be reading the epistle tomorrow. Amen. Let's come and pray all over the building. Bring your tablet. I'm talking about your soul. Amen. Don't need to look around. Amen. Bring your tablet. Praise the name of the Lord. Let him write a new paragraph on your heart tonight. Oh, have your own way, Lord. I pray you move it. Oh, thou art the potter, I am the clay. You're the author and I'm the tablet, Lord. Oh, bless your name. Bless your name. Write your story on my life. Write your story on my life. Through my life. With my life. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Oh, do you feel the Holy Spirit moving on your heart? The Holy Spirit wants to ride on your heart tonight. Move upon our minds. Holy Spirit, move upon our hearts. Jesus, Jesus, take your Holy Spirit. Jesus, take your Holy Spirit. Change the way that I think. Change the way that I feel. Change what I desire, Lord. Write a new story. God, write new desires on my heart. Write new thoughts in my mind. Write new desires in my life, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, bless you.
Search me and try me.
Lord, we seek you tonight. Lord, we seek you tonight. You are the epistle read by the people of your life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you can be an epistle of mercy and hope, an epistle of love and grace, an epistle of the power of God of deliverance.